Last week, you know, I talked about pressing in, how important it was for us to press into God. And that came out of Luke 16:16. We're talking about the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. So we shared a little bit about that pressing in and how important it is for us to press in. Pressing in, remember, was an urgently important to act upon through steady pushing or thrusting force exerted in a contact. That's what we want to do with God, and that's what God wants to do with us, with Him. He wants us to press into Him with exertion, not that we get wore out because His strength is my strength. When I am weak, He is strong. So we're not going to press into God and go, well, if I do that, I'm going to be wore out. You will not be wore out. He will energize you. He will refresh you. He will strengthen you. That He just says, I want you to keep pressing in. Amen? Keep pressing into the things that He has for us. And we talk in some of that area back in, and I noticed last week when I was talking to my wife about it, she says, you are really talking fast up there. I go, you know, I probably was. But when you start getting into God's Word and the Spirit and you're sharing these things, you can't go. You've got to be excited about God's Word. And it's going to be so important to press into Him with everything you've got. Honest. No! For some reason, when I get looking at His Word and it comes bubbling into me, it's like a Gatling gun. Hallelujah. But it's like, listen quick. I said to her, I said, well, one thing about it, I don't think anybody dozed off last week because they're like, shock value. But we've got to press in. We've got to steadily push into the things of God. The way we press into God now and a lot is through His Word. The Scriptures that are here for us to read, to put into our spirit, to read these nuggets of truth, these nuggets of life into us so that we can put them in there and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to percolate them, to bubble them, to make them a freshness and alive, you know. Let God put some of that carbonation in it and let it be bubbly things of God, amen. We need to hear the fuzzy things of God, the fuzz, the fizz of God, not the fuzz of God, but the fizz of God in our life every day. You know, have you ever, back in the days, you used to get that pop and you put it in there and it was bubbly and it was like, and you put it up your nose. I mean, when it was really bad, it would just start going up in your nose. Woo! Wow. That's when we need the fizz of God in our lives to get us going. Amen? And to do that, we've got to press in. I'm going to promise you this. If you press into God, He will give you the things that He has for you. And He will probably give you even more as you press into Him because He's excited to see you pressing in. It gets God excited. Can you imagine when it says when one sinner comes to Him, the whole heavenlies rejoice. So can you imagine as a father or a child of God and we get even more of Him and get closer to Him, He's got to be up there just excited as well because He's saying what? Oh, Dawn, you've got it. My daughter, you've got it. Denise, you know, Linda, Paul, Danny. Oh, now I'm going to miss everybody. I shouldn't have started naming everybody. Oh, but, you know, He gets excited when He looks and He's saying, you're getting it. You are capturing it because you're pressing in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, now, as we press in, we're going to realize some things, and we're going to go to my next venture there, which kind of tied in and took me back to pressing in, because I started at, guess what? Tribulation. Could you imagine? You go to God's Word, and you start reading about trials and tribulations and these things, and then as you follow that study, it takes you back to the point of pressing in. So see, it's very important that we press into God and get all that we can. We got to keep our exertion going to God. We got to press into Him, getting closer to closer, because even as saints of God, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Do you believe that? Do I have an amen that everybody knows you got trials and tribulations? You've got them. I see them. I hear them. I've got them. We got them. You know? All God's children have them. Trials and tribulations. So it took me, and I began 2 or 3 weeks back reading in Acts 14:21. And when they had preached the gospel to the city, and many disciples, they returned to Lystra,
Iconium and Antioch, and strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying what? We must, through what? Many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Now, you go back before that, and you read a little bit about Paul, it was like he was dead. Because in 19, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium were there, and having persuaded the multitudes, guess what they did to Paul? Paul is sharing this wonderful news about the gospel, about Jesus Christ. What did they do to him? Your Bible, I should say this. They stoned Paul, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, went into the city, and the next day he departed. So as Paul is sharing, the people, they stoned him, and it's like he was dead, but he came back. Was he just knocked out? Hey, I don't know. Many scholars believe that Paul was describing this near-death experience from that in 2 Corinthians 12, 2-5. It is possible that when Paul rose up and went into the city, he was actually raised from the dead. At the very least, he was miraculously healed because the next day he departed. Well, however it happened, we have it here that at least that he was stoned. I don't know. I have not been anywhere where somebody's been stoned. But I'm assuming that if you're stoned and there's a lot of people throwing and casting stones upon you, you're not going to come out of it without a bruise or some kind of injuries. May not be dead. But yet the next day he had the strength to get up and go. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they made many disciples. And then in 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying that we must through many. Do you think he had some trials and tribulations, Paul? We must, through many trials and tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We must, through many tribulations. And so as we look at this, and I was talking to myself, I guess. I talk to myself a lot, and really I just tell people I'm talking to God. But sometimes I'm just probably talking to myself. But when we talk of pressing in, it'll mean that it's through sufferings and some tribulations that we're going to have to go to. And on the onset of this, it certainly doesn't sound like it's fun or that it's where we even want to go. How many want to go to where there's trials and tribulations and problems? I don't. But God will be with us during these times. And it's like, how do we do this? It's by walking in faith. Quickly, in Hebrews 11:1, what does it say about that? Faith is now the substance, or faith is the realization of things hoped for, the evidence, or that of the confidence of things not seen. That's in Hebrews 11:1, the faith chapter. But it talks in God's word at times it's about without faith it is impossible to please him. Faith is the big thing in our Christian walk. And when you go through struggles, when you go through these situations, you're saying, I got to press in. Yes, you've got to press into God because you're going to have trials and tribulations and things that you're going to have to overcome through that with God working in you, and God will see you through those trials and tribulations. And we'll get back and probably end in a point to where, you know, John sometime back had shared in regards to the things of Satan, I believe, and having to stomp on him, right? So, when we look at this in Acts 14:22, Paul not only taught the joy and the peace of the kingdom of God, but he also taught about its power. He talked about its present authority to cause the believer to triumph over evil. He also taught that the kingdom people will experience trials and sufferings, and that there's not always an instant victory. That's where our faith gets us through these victories, because they're not going to be instantaneously, but there will be victory. Amen? Triumph and victory may characterize the attitude of each citizen of the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit-empowered authority is given to be applied to realize the results. Yet God did not promise life without struggles. The dominion being recovered through the presence of the king within us, administered by that of what? The Holy Spirit's power through us, is never taught by these apostles as preempting all suffering. It's like you're still going to have suffering. You're still going to have hurts. You're still going to have aggravation. You're still going to have things not go the right way. But you still need to preach the kingdom. Amen?
And you need to even do it probably even more so when you're going through those things, because that's going to even build you up more as you share more of the kingdom of God to help somebody else. Guess what? I believe in return it's going to help you. It's just like your testimony. As you give your testimony out to help and share to somebody, your testimony will again help build you back up, because all of a sudden you're recalling what God did in your situation, however long back it's been, but you're going to be remembering of it. It's going to power you back up, and you're going to be going stronger for that of God. Amen? And that's what it's going to take. We have got to keep ourselves fired up. We got to keep ourselves in the fight. We got to keep ourselves going forward to reclaim, to overtake, to whatever it is that we've got to do to take back what the enemy stole from us, or to continue to proclaim more of God's kingdom to those out there that need to hear it. And there's a lot of people out there, out in the world, that need to hear about more of what? His kingdom here on this earth. And that they can walk in a blessing in a very terrible place. This world is not where I want to stay, but while I'm here, I'm going to be blessed and I'm going to have a good life, amen? By that of God giving me, strengthening me, protecting me, helping me, whatever it is. Oh, will I go through a trial? Yes. Will I go through some struggles? Yes. But my God is still, guess what? The same God. It says in his word, he never changes. Whew, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So, I want to look at this real quick. And now, in Romans, Paul here is talking about joy and peace. How, people that are going through a struggle in this life, how do they understand that they tell, if we tell them that through that of Christ, the Holy Spirit, we have joy, we have peace? It's totally incomprehensible. They can't figure that out. And probably I can't either, but if I, with the Holy Spirit, I can. Because with God, the Holy Spirit, and his love, I sense that. Romans 14, 17, it's just a confirming of this. And it says this, I'm going to start in 14. I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one of whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Now we get into 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness. And what? Peace. And what? Joy. In what? The Holy Spirit. We look at this, and we even get at today sometimes about the dietary laws and should we or shouldn't we, and how should we react to these things. It speaks of here in a footnote in my study Bible, dietary laws are relatively trivial, and their fulfillment is not essential to God's reign. Amen? Dietary law and following what we should or shouldn't is not up to that of what? God's reign. Of far more importance is the fruit of that of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of, but the fruit of the Spirit. What's more important than the food and things? Love. What's more important than the food? Joy. So we look at Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And it goes on, gentleness, self-control. So of the more importance, and rather than dealing with food or shouldn't we, or how are we going to, is that of what? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives showing forth. Now we're going to go into that. So that's joy and peace. We have joy and peace. We're going through trials and tribulations, but I've got joy and peace. Hallelujah. Now I look at the 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4:20. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, for what? The kingdom of God is not in what? Word, but in power. Oh, Father. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. God's present reign in Christ through the lives of believers is backed up by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, which carries a moral authority that Paul can use if necessary. That same authority, that same Holy Spirit is where? In us, for this day. So we, as we look, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Who has the power? We have. We've got to get ourselves understanding of that, because the enemy has told everyone in here probably, you have no power. You're mere human. I'm going to destroy you, or whatever the case is. Or I've got your life right here and I'm strangling it, whatever he may be saying to us. But we have got to understand the power that we do have within us by that of the Holy Spirit in us, because I'm a what? Child of God. You're what? A child of who? God. And God will be there for you. Amen. And so when we look at this, the kingdom of God, it's in power. In that area of power, 1 Corinthians 2:4, if I just backtrack there and you can follow me, but I have just a little footnote here. And it talks about in 1 Corinthians 2:4, it's talking about here in the beginning of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians 2 is being that of Christ crucified. And when I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God or the mystery of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all you need to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And here, and my speech and my preaching were not with what? Persuasive words of human wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. The Spirit and the power. Of what? The Spirit and the power of God. We're going to be having the Spirit and the power of God within us. And it's not going to take these big, extreme, long words that people don't understand and sometimes we can't even pronounce. It's not with persuasive words, but demonstration of the Spirit of God. Paul did not preach to show off his oracle skills or draw attention to himself. Rather, he spoke with fear and trembling. It's a figure of speech denoting the opposite of what? Self-confidence. You know, as we get up and share the word, as you two ladies did a few weeks back, you didn't share it in your own ability, right? There was fear and trembling in you. I saw it. I heard it days before, like, oh. When we get up before the Lord and we share these things, it's not by, look what I can oracle tell you. Look at how I can speak to you with such big sway, big persuasive words. It's like I'm up here at times going, okay, Lord, I've disconnected my thoughts. And maybe that's why all of a sudden we just start going, because it doesn't give us time to think. It's like, let the Lord just download these things. Let him come and just, boom, go out. You know, as John would teach and minister in the Word of God in teachings, it's not him. It's he's following that of God speaking through him. And so it's like, oh, Lord, you know, I hope you show up today, because I don't know what I'm going to say. I can read the scriptures. That's great. And your word is powerful. But what is behind it? What is it that we can give something more to it so that people receive it and that it means something to them? And that's what our prayer is. When we come and we share the Word of God, it's like, Lord, let it not just be words on paper that just makes some kind of like a cute story, but let it be, as we read it, let it be like that of the power of the Holy Spirit being pushed out through the scriptures into the people's spirits, and let it become what? Alive and active in them. Let it begin to fizz, you know, let the Word of God fizzle in you and fizz to where it's tickling your nose. Hallelujah. Tickle your nose. You'll have joy of the Lord. Amen. People will start laughing. How's that? I got bubbles in my nose. But 1 Corinthians 2:4, in my speech and my preaching. So anyway, we're talking about it. It's not with persuasive words and things. It's with fear and trembling. Demonstration of the Spirit and of the power not only refers to the fact that the miraculous is accompanied Paul's preachings, but also to the Holy Spirit's what? Transforming power in the individual lives of the Corinthians here that we're speaking in 1 Corinthians. Far from mere intellectual conversions through human wisdom, they encountered the Spirit himself, who demonstrated his presence in them through various gifts of spiritual gifts. And part of that is what? Speaking of with that of tongues.
So that's part of those power things. That's those evidences of. That's those things that we want to freely be able to walk in and not hinder it, but we want it to freely come. As we go before God and say, God, give me everything you've got that you want me to have. Amen. And he's going to give it to you. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to struggle for it. Why would we? Some people think I've just got to fight for this. I got to struggle for this. I mean, I'm going to tell you, when you come to God, like when, you know, like John says, I'll do anything but teach. God hears that. And he goes, you're going to teach, you know. But as we come to him and we are just open to him and we're saying, I want more of you, God. Why do you not think he would give you more of himself? That's what he wants to do. Because he knows that if he can put more of himself into you, you're going to have more of him, and it's going to help you through your life here. You're going to be pressing in. I'm going to tell you, as much as we press in and we should press into him, he wants to press into us. And the more that he can press himself into myself, into me, oh, Father, hallelujah. May we become one. No, I'm not going to become God and do these things, but God is going to be in me, and he's going to give me that additional power, that additional strength, that additional warning of things that are happening or not happening, or where do we go from here, Lord? You know, we're all on this journey. Individually, we're on a journey with God. We've got to have him in us. Let him be. Remember, we would always talk about where signs would say, God is my co-pilot, and then they came out with a sign that says, forget being a co-pilot. He needs to be the pilot, and you need to be the co-pilot. Let God be the head guy driving your ship. So in our lives today, we want that of God to be leading us and guiding us and drawing us and taking us. And I want to just go along for the ride. Hallelujah. I love it. A few weeks back when we went out of town for a situation, and my one daughter, she says, well, Dad, you always drive. I'll drive. And that way you can look and see where we're going and you can just enjoy the scenery. I said, I'll take you up on that. Because why? You know, it's not bad being in the co-pilot seat. It's not bad being in the passenger seat on the front seat of the car or in the back seat, because to me, I love looking around at stuff. I do it as well when I'm driving, but I don't do it as well. And then my co-pilot says, Tim, keep your eyes on the road. But I love it. I whew, hallelujah, Lord. I'm glad, Lord, to let you be the pilot in my whatever I'm in, this vessel. Amen. Because I'll be the passenger, and I'll just look at the things coming by and say, wow, that's awesome. That's great. Look at that. That's beautiful. Awesome. Great. Wow, look at that. When did that happen? When did they put that there? You can't do those things when you're driving. You go through places, and it's like you're so focused, you got to watch where you're going. Why not let God be your pilot? Why not let God be your driver? Hallelujah. He will do it for you if we just surrender that over to him. And I believe God would say, I want to be your pilot, Tim, and I want you to enjoy the ride. I want you to look and see when we do those things, I think that gives us that opportunity to where we get closer to him, because we begin to look at things around us and we see his hand of creation, his hand of making things, bringing things into the existence of things. It's powerful. So anyway, it's not bad to be a co-pilot. It's not bad to be on the passenger seat. And I'm one of those that if somebody else is driving, I'm not trying to drive for them. I'm trusting them. So I'm one of those guys. It's like if I'm in the back seat, I'm not going to say, hey, watch out over here. Go, look over there. Oh, look. I'm looking at stuff and enjoying it. I think many times if we look at that, that's the natural. If we take it into the spiritual, how many times do we say, well, God, you're driving this life of mine. I'm giving this life over to you. But then we always want to give God advice. Anybody here want to give God advice? Hey, are you all saints? We always want to give him advice. Now, God, I don't know if I would do it this way. I think you ought to change and go this way. Lord, I be careful. Watch. And God would say, Tim, didn't he say that to Job? Like, where were you when I created this place? That always comes back to me when I start thinking about it. I need to tell God something. God, I want to tell you really what I think you ought to be looking at, and I think this is the way we ought to do it. I always remember that verse in Job. Where were you, Tim? But I don't say Job, I say Tim. But where were you, Tim, when I was creating all this? And I go, you got me. Okay, Lord, it's all yours. But see, in our Christian and our spiritual walk with God, there's many times we want to tell him, control him, adjust him when he needs to adjust us. And I think if we can, like in the natural, in the spiritual, if you can totally surrender, I surrender all to God, that I can be in that spiritual carriage, and he's going to take me to where he wants me to go, and he'll protect me. And I'm just going to be enjoying the ride. But we got to trust him. Okay, let's go to, so now we looked at, you know, we're talking about this kingdom thing about trials and tribulations, but he will help us get through these things with what? Joy and peace. That sounds foolish. You're going to have a hard time, but you're going to have joy and peace. It doesn't equate, doesn't make sense. And then we're going to go that I'm going to have power, but it's going to be the kingdom's power through that of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to have that going for me. Now, what about the authority? I've got the authority. Do you know you've got the authority to triumph over evil? You have the authority to triumph over those things in your life that are destroying you? Amen. I can take authority over that. I can pray God's ways into these things, in my family, in my city, in my town, in my home, in whatever. It talks about we've got to have dominion and take that dominion. But anyway, I've got the kingdom's power. We've talked about that. Now we're going to go into that of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:18. Ooh, the heading of just above verse 17 says this, the Lord is faithful. Ooh. Starting in 2 Timothy 4:17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He will stand with you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe it? So that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. How many here have you been in the mouth of a lion in the last 5 years? 6 years? 10 years? Many of us. But he will deliver you out of that. And then in verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from what? Every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So here we find Paul is not expresses an immunity to physical ill, but on the contrary, he's expecting death. Verses 6 and 8. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, he's talking about those possibilities of death. But no attack upon him could do him abiding harm. His death would bring what? Deliverance from suffering and entrance into heaven. So, you know, that's like some people say, you know, well, I'm going to go all out for God, and if I die, all I've got before me and ahead of me is what? Glory. What's wrong with that? I'm not going to do foolish things to die prematurely, hopefully, but I'm going to say I'll do it all and give it all that I've got to God and stand for him, these things. But, you know, when the time comes and I breathe my last, I've got someplace much better than this place here, and it's reserved for me and it's reserved for all of his kids. Amen? So it's like, yeah, it's a win-win. That's what we tell people. What happens if that happens? It's a win-win. If I get this here on this earth, I win. If I get it and I die here and I go there, I win. That's the thing that the enemy doesn't quite understand, and the enemy would like to keep putting fear into you about, are you sure you're saved? Are you sure if you die, you're going to go to heaven? How many times have you talked to Christians even and people in churches, and you go, well, do you believe you're going to go to heaven when you die? And I've seen people in churches go like this. I think so. You think so? You don't have an affirmative thing in your spirit that says, I know so, amen? And it's not to be pridefulness, but it's to say, if I believe this word of God and I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and he's forgiven me in my sins and he's prepared a place for me, why would I doubt then if I believe this is the word of God? You ought to be able to say, when you die, are you going to heaven? Yes. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Well, what does that mean? I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it says, he says, no one cometh unto the Father except through me. No one can enter that except through Jesus Christ. Well, how does that happen? I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I ask him to be my Lord, my Savior. I ask him to forgive me of my sins by his blood. It is. It's a done deal. I don't have to waver and wonder. But I think it's very sad that the enemy has still got a lot of speaking into our churches, into some wonderful, blessed people that still have a, well, I think so. Well, I hope so. And it's like you've got to have it in you beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because once you get that, whatever the enemy tries to tell you is a lie, you will know it's a lie, because all you have to do is repeat it back to the devil that I am a child of the Most High. He is my God. I am His. And the devil will say, are you sure? Well, yeah. How do you know? Tell the devil like you would tell somebody sitting across the table drinking coffee with you. Well, I know because this, devil. Well, you know what, Sally? I know because of this. You know? It's not to be prideful. It's not to say, look at me and all that. But you have got to have an assurity. We have got to have a belief and an understanding. And when you get that within you, you're pressing into God. The more you press in, the more He presses to you, the more you see Him through. The only really time that we even call out to Him, and a lot of times, is through problems. Well, a problem is a trial. A problem is a tribulation. So when we get into those things, we know, or He knows, we're going to cry out to Him, but we're not going to cry out like, oh, I'm defeated. Oh, we're going to say, Lord, I'm Yours. Take this battle on. Or if I'm to battle it, give me the resources, His word. Maybe we have to share His word with the situation. Several of you here, when you're going through a situation in your prayers, we pray the word of God to that situation or that circumstance, right? God's word says this. Or we remind God, God, Your word says this. And His word talks about where it does not return void to God. We have got to know these things so that we can be strong in these things and that we can triumph over things that happen in life. There is so many people, even in this small church, that has so much going on in their life. It's a battle in some instances every day. And I hope they're remaining strong. Amen. I hope they're remaining faithful to that of God. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of trust, a lot of faith. And you got to be close to God. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever. So, I want to look at Psalms 121, let's see, 121:7, Psalms 121:7. What does 121:7 say? It says, the Lord will, or the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve what? Your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, the beginning of Psalms 121 starts off that I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence help comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He's not going to sleep on you, guys. Behold, he keeps Israel. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. We look at that word. It says that the saint is preserved, not in the sense that he will never suffer adversity, but that he will go through adversity and come out a winner. Amen? Now, we can look at, let's see if I got this marked here real quick. When we look at that word preserve, so in Psalms 121:7, the Lord shall preserve you. Preserve is to do this as a definition, to guard, to keep, to protect, to preserve, to watch over, to care for, to safe keep. So we find this throughout the Old Testament about 450 times. But anyway, to preserve, guard, keep, protect, preserve, watch over, care for, safe keep. I mean, the Lord will take care of us. Amen? What more does He need to tell us that He will take care of you? Thank you, Father. Then we're going to wrap it up right here. Romans 16:20. So now remember, as we were sharing about this whole thing about tribulations and trials, and pressing in and all these things. And when we talked about it in Acts, where it talked about, you know, the understanding of joy and peace, we're going to deal with that and have that during these times of trials. We're going to have the power of the kingdom within us as we go through these situations. We are going to triumph. And here's where we're triumphing at. And this is in Romans 16. And basically it just says this. And the God, verse 16, 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And the God of peace, crush. Now, when we look at that, I think John probably brought that out when he had that teaching way back, or a ministry on a Sunday. I think it was at the time that we played Nancy Sinatra, These Boots Are Made for Walking. We're everything. We'll use anything to get the point across. Amen? And it gets the point across when you think about that. Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun. But these boots are made for walking. And I think John was sharing about this crushing and stepping on. But we'll crush. So when we look at this, so here we are. We have the authority to triumph. And we're looking at this where, and the God of peace will crush. Now, Satan under whose feet? Under God's feet? Under whose feet? Our feet, your feet. Look at those two feet you got. You can crush Satan. You can stomp him to death with your own feet. And it says to trample upon. When we're thinking of this word crush, then the peace will trample on, will break in pieces, will shatter, will bruise, will grind down, will smash Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So it says that Paul proclaims the ultimate triumph of Christ and his church over all evil in the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Now here's the thing too that we look at where it says here shortly. Because we think, oh, in your feet, shortly. Shortly does not mean soon, but it means swiftly. I think it's something like that now where it says quickly and he'll come quickly. Quickly is like, well, something like that, but it's like, boom. Like, you know, you're talking about, what was I reading or something about the changing of like the twinkling of an eye. I think maybe we were sharing, I don't know, somehow we talk about so much stuff. But, you know, just the millisecond that people will not even recognize people have been gone and been, well, I think it was in your time. It was in this, John. I was reading that and going through, talking about the changing and the twinkling and how fast, and that when the time comes and we're taken up, or people around us, that of the children of God, are taken up out of before the tribulations and things, that people won't even notice they're gone because it happens so quick. I mean, it happens faster than a blink, if I remember what some of the sayings were. And that's how fast it's going to happen. It's like, just blink, and in between that blink, you know, people are gone. And so it's like, hey, what happened? But you think of these things quickly, suddenly. But this here is talking about shortly does not mean soon, but swiftly. In circumstances of life, as at the end of this age, we may expect God's conquest of Satan's workings to be short and sharp. I believe as we go through these things, and we are always looking for the future, and we're anticipation of his coming back, and it's going to be a glorious thing, and we're going to have, you know, God is going to reign, and the second coming. But I want to tell you guys that we can have this good life here today upon this earth, and when things happen, God on our side fighting for us, God on our side giving us the authority to triumph, that we are going to see things happen quickly. It's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen in our situations. Sometimes you'll be going through a situation, and sometimes as we pray through it and the Lord battles it for us, we may wake up and we may realize that, I don't even realize I was doing that anymore. Good thing was like Don and Linda, as you shared with that, God did to you in a situation of being obedient, had nothing to do with your obedience there, but he touched you in such a way that there was some physical healings that took place, but you didn't recognize it right away or whatever. It took a while, and then all of a sudden somebody mentions it, and you go, wow, you know what? That's right. I'm not even realizing that. Because it's one of those things that was quickly done to the point where it wasn't a big dun 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 dun. God is showing up. Don, you're gonna see this now. Just wait. Boom. No. It was like you were being obedient. God was doing mightily things in you, and you woke up and you went home, and all of a sudden, week and a half, 2 weeks later. Well, you know what? I guess you're right. That is.
quickly to the point you don't even realize it. He will do that same thing to Satan when Satan is on your case, that we put it over and we're going to crush him. You've got to put him, Satan, under your feet. We're going to what? God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. You don't have to call God down to say, God, take care of this. He is saying, put him under your feet. I'm the God of peace in your life. You're going to have peace. I'm going to bring peace to you, but you're going to put that's causing a problem in your life on that floor, and you're going to stop. You're going to crush this guy out. Crush. Woo! Crush, trample, break, shatter, bruise. Ooh! Nothing like grinding down. Has anybody ever ground down somewhere? You just stepped on it and you just went, ah. You know, you obliterate it. There's nothing left, you know? It's gone. But that's how, as we press into God, God presses into us. As we're saying, okay, Lord, I realize we're going to have these situations, tribulations, but I'm going to have joy and peace. I'm going to have the kingdom's power in me. I'm going to have the ability and the authority to triumph over things in my life that are taking things away from me, that I am going to be victorious because of Christ in me, not he that's in the world, amen? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, and he that's in the world now has a place under my feet, and I'm smashing him and crushing him and grinding him into the dirt. Hallelujah! Glory! Well, thank you, Lord, for the message of today. Lord, I pray that we can receive out of this, Lord, whatever it is that we need to take on this week, to take on this month, to take on whatever comes ahead, Lord. We are already proclaiming victory in it. Lord, it may hit us. It may drop us back a step or two. But Lord, we are going to regain focus on you. We're going to turn it over to you. We're going to walk in that authority and that joy and that peace. And Lord, we're going to conquer. And we're going to reclaim. And we're going to take back. And the enemy will not have a way of holding on to us any longer. We are done playing the game with Satan. For there's too many more things to do for that of you, God. And I think at this point in our times, Lord, we need to focus more on you and accomplishing your works. And tell the devil to get thee behind me, like our Lord and Savior did, Jesus, get thee behind me, so that we can go on and fulfill and accomplish your great work upon this earth that you have planned for each and every one of us to be a part of. Amen. Be there with us, Lord, as I know you are. Give us that strength when we need it, but above all, give us joy. Joy and a merry heart, so that, Lord, we can laugh in the face of our adversary. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Hallelujah!